Welcome to the Successfully Unemployed Show, the place where ordinary people become extraordinary by finding the path to financial freedom through entrepreneurship, side hustles, and passive income. We have already blazed the path, showing you how to retire early and have financial independence so you will never work for someone else again. Successfully Unemployed, your place for freedom.
It is time for the Successfully Unemployed Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you learn how to quit that J-O-B, that just over broke job, with every means possible. Now, in the show, we interview fantastic experts who show us how they, not just how they did it, but they will teach us every single step of the way to be successfully unemployed just like they are. They're going to give you all the tips, the tools, and everything that you need to be successfully unemployed, because there are so many ways to be successfully unemployed and no longer work for somebody else in a J-O-B. Now hit that like and hit that subscribe button. Let's get in there. Let's start and learn today how to be successfully unemployed like our expert today. Let's do this. I am super excited to bring an expert on in, number one, creating online businesses, but number two, at the same time, creating software, creating things that people buy from him, as well as he also works with his wife. It's fantastic. We're going to get into it. So Jesse Kwong from reiconversion.com. He also has other businesses we'll talk about. But Jesse, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, Dustin. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be on the show.
Awesome, buddy. So how do you make money to provide for your family without working 9 to 5?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I currently run reiconversion.com. We make WordPress themes and plugins for real estate investors. I spend a lot of time, you know, I have a team that I also provide for as well. And yeah, that's essentially what we do. I also run a podcast as well, helping other investors. But the main core, the core product of my site is really, you know, selling themes and plugins and also helping manage websites for our investors as well.
Awesome. So you're developing software, you're developing things to sell, but you also have something where you work with your wife. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So actually, how I first got started in the online world was actually with my wife. She's a Japanese nail artist, and we built a learning sort of website for nail artists around the world. So she teaches on there. She also has a faculty of instructors from Japan, and we produce videos and kind of like a Netflix where they come in and students come in and start learning nail art.
That is fantastic. Good for you. Yeah. What's the name of that site?
Yeah, it's called Neiru. Neiru means nail in Japanese. So that's Neiru.me. You'll see my wife there. You won't actually see me on a lot of the marketing material, obviously. But, you know, I sit in the background. I do run a lot of the business in the back end. And, you know, we do connect with other sort of major brands out in Japan. And we bring a lot of their education out here into the Western world.
So are either one of you Japanese, or do you just like that Japanese thing?
No, my wife is Japanese, so she's a trained Japanese artist, and and then, you know, we always thought we wanted to try something. We tried several ideas, and then we ended up, you know, navigating to building what we currently have now, which is Neiru.
That's awesome. I love that. Now, I'm actually half Japanese.
There you go.
My dad's Japanese. He came over when he was 19 years old. So really quick, funny story. So when he was growing up, he was like, man, I eventually want to travel the world. So he got to be 19 years old. He started in Japan, said, I'm going to travel the entire world. He and his buddy went from Japan, flew to Hawaii, because, you know, that's just the quickest next stop. And he was going to Cal. So he was in Hawaii for a little bit, then went to California. That's where I was born, in California. So that's my dad. He was going to travel the entire world. He got to Fresno, California, stopped. So he didn't get like a fraction of the way around the entire world. He got there and stopped, and then met my mom and had my brother and myself. And so, yes. And so I've been to Japan, I want to say at least 2 dozen times. In fact, in 2017, I took my wife, my four kids, and my dad to Japan for 6 weeks, drove all the way around the entire island of Japan for like 1,500 miles. And it was fantastic. So have you guys been to Japan?
Oh, yeah. So we used to go for months at a time, just because we can remotely work from anywhere. And it's a beautiful thing. I have this weird thing that I love sitting in cafes of busy cities. And I can sit there for hours and work. It's sort of, I don't know what it is. It's something that I love doing, which is sitting in cafes around the world and just watching the city and work in a cafe. So yeah, definitely. We've been out to Japan many times and it's an amazing country.
Yeah. Yeah. That is fantastic. I love that too. I love Japan. I love America. I just diehard American, but I love Japan. I go back there as many as we can. So now I want to jump into how we are, you and I and everybody listening, we're just ordinary people. And yeah. So, you know, taking the mystique out of like either being a millionaire or a billionaire or even just like we quit our job. And that's not something that everybody does. And so you become extraordinary if you quit your job and you can be on your own and be independent. So take us back. What were you doing before you were able to quit your job? And what job were you working? And then talk to us about the process of getting to where you are now extraordinary working without a job.
Quickly, I mean, I used to work for a recreation facility and it was sort of an upper end sort of facility. And I worked in the marketing department. I was a in-house graphic designer and also helped out with a lot of the marketing material and a lot of the web stuff. And at that point in time, I just felt like I couldn't work for a boss. I couldn't. It's the pressure, and I could never express myself correctly. I could never confidently communicate what I thought would work. I always felt insecure in that way, but I've always wanted to do my own thing. I just wanted full control of everything that I'd done, and it's just a lot more fun for me. And I landed on a podcast called the Smart Passive Income, and then from there, it sort of lit a little fire in me. I was every day on the subway heading to work, listening to it, getting more and more excited, didn't know what to do. And I knew I didn't have any specific skill. I always found I'm sort of a jack of all trades. And my wife, on the other hand, she's a talented nail artist locally here. And so I said, hey, why don't we try something? So we started, buying products overseas and then selling them. And it was going okay. I mean, it was just what we were doing in the evening. So we spent our evenings packing orders and, sitting at my parents' basement packing orders. And then eventually started making YouTube videos because people didn't know how to use some of those products. And then people were saying, hey, can you teach more? And, that sort of led us to think maybe tutorials. And then we ended up doing some tutorials and it really picked up on YouTube. So then we decided to create a membership site and started dripping out content from there. And I started really diving into internet marketing. And eventually I got into real estate investing. And then, I met some people and I could get started and scaled up because I knew how to set up websites. And I knew a lot of people needed websites set up. So that sort of led me to creating REI Conversion, 7 years after my first business.
That is awesome. So you have two really well-run businesses now, and you got your wife working on one, and you are all, but obviously you're helping out. And you guys, is it something that one is providing more or making more money, or is it both pretty steady, or is it just something that you guys both love to do?
Because REI Conversion is quite new, we recently launched last year, but it is slowly and steadily climbing up there to being the sort of main focus. I have now transitioned myself to focus more on REI Conversion as our first business now can, a lot of it can now be automated. And my wife she used to be a nail artist. Now she's fluent on Final Cut Pro, on internet marketing. She's just, she's great at that stuff now. So I kind of leave her with that. And now I focus a lot more on REI Conversion.
Now, I definitely want to talk to you about creating, you basically have a software company is really what it comes down to. I haven't interviewed anybody that has done that. So I really want to dive into that. So with REI Conversion, you have templates for WordPress. WordPress is a fantastic software to use. It's free to use for anybody, but then there's also themes. There's plugins you can buy or pay for extended things. But this is your REI Conversion is your way to provide for your family, and you are having themes and plugins. Talk to us about what was the first, not just like the idea. Let's say we already have an idea, like we want to start doing a software company on X, Y, and Z. We already have that idea. What should we do to get started? Do we have to learn how to code? Do we have to learn how to program and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to code. I mean, I barely know how to code. And it's all about sort of finding the right team members and people who will go with you. You know, my lead dev, Yuli, she's been with me since the beginning with Neru, and she's now very involved in the WordPress community. She's a self-taught developer, and she's amazing. And she's sort of the coding person behind everything. I'm more of the guy that looks for problems and solves those problems. So it wasn't something that I was actively looking for. I was full into land investing, and I was getting into wholesaling and whatnot. And like I always say to other people is always keep your antennas open. And I just noticed that a lot of people were just saying that they don't have a site or a problem. There just needs to be a problem solved there. And like I said, I didn't go into this thinking that I have to build something. That sort of came to me over time. And then through experimenting and figuring things out, we ended up being where we are. So if you're looking to create a program or software, I would say either know how to code. Better yet is partner with someone who knows how to code, and you could be the person that looks after the business, because the issue with a lot of people that start up, you know, what we call SaaS, software as a service or any programs, the struggle is not really coming up with a product, but it's actually the business side of things. Who's going to market this? Who's going to figure out where this business needs to go? Who's going to, talk to the community and learn from the community? So it's always great to be able to split that and tag team that, the business side of things and the programming side of things. Just because the programming side of things is a lot of work on its own. Both sides is a lot of work. You really need the sort of yin and the yang type of thing.
That's great. And so it sounds like you did. You partnered with somebody that is doing the programming coding.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And it's someone that I trust and that I've worked with. And, I've been through a lot of horror stories of working with other developers and coders. And it's not always as glorifying as it sounds. There's a lot of struggle that comes with that as well.
So I want to jump back now, because that was the first question that comes on everybody's mind, my mind, like, do I need a program? You know, do I need to actually be the coder and all that sort of stuff? Which I when I was working a job, I was working IT for the local county government back where I was living in Fresno. And one of my bosses came to me and said, hey, would you want to take a programming class? Do you want to learn how to program? And I said, no, I would rather stab a needle in my eye than program. I'm not a programmer. That's more jokingly, but that drives home the point. No, I am not a programmer. I'm more of a project manager. I'll help like bring in a $10 million product. I'll project manage that. And so that's the type of personality that I think that runs the business. Now the programmer, the coder, they are very analytical. They're very good at what they do. And so let's go back now to looking at how do we think of, do we just see a problem and think, you know what, let's just make a product? Or should we test it out first? Like, how do we go to that step? Or how do we start that thinking in creating something from scratch and what we should create?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things, and I look back at both my businesses, like I said, with Neru and with REI Conversion, I never thought that I would end up doing what I would be doing for both of those businesses. What's important is, I think, is start somewhere that is easy enough to get started and know that you can always pivot. You're never going to always know the answer at the start because you just don't know enough. And it, unfortunately, you know, I think a lot of people who want to start something think that they're going to go and do it one way for the whole time. I think it's important to be involved in the community, whether it's a Facebook group or, you know, a forum or whatever, so you can get that feedback and pay attention. You know, read your comments if you're posting up content. Really listen to what your audience is asking for, because essentially, at the end of the day, they're going to be the ones who are going to be paying you for what you've created. So, you know, my suggestion is start with something you know and that is easy. So for me, it was starting off selling, you know, these little nail jewelries. You wouldn't even believe it. I mean, they're just tiny stuff that stick on your nails, right? And it goes from there. So like I said, I started with that, and I, you know, we tried one thing and it evolved. So I think it's best to start with what you know that you think you can, you know, contribute. Perhaps you're not solving a big issue, but that's fine. As long as you're bringing something of value to the table, then if you want to grow, keep an open ear and continue to listen to what people are looking for. And that's sort of where I think is the best starting point for coming up with an idea from scratch.
Got it. And I do like the idea of already having an understanding in whatever you're going to be creating, because if you are the target market, you would have a good understanding of how to reach that target market, like hanging out where they hang out, because you would normally hang out there. I really, really like that idea. So from there, because I've heard many, many people say, well, if you're going to create a course, a course, you're going to put all this work into making these videos, teaching, but then you put all these hundreds of hours and then nobody buys it. And so you're like, well, did I just, build the wrong business because nobody's going to buy it? Is it the thought that you should sell this first before you should put any time and money and everything to code this entire software package or product or app?
You're going to have to ask me that question again.
Should we pre-sell the software? Like, or you're already in that group, that Facebook group. Hey guys, I'm building this up. I'm going to beta launch it, but I'm getting pre-sales. Like, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a great way to go about it. And that's sort of like proving to yourself if a concept is something of value to others. And it's sort of what, essentially, you're pre-selling. You're sort of testing the market and see if there's a reaction and if people are interested. I think that's a great way to go about it. And before you sort of package it into a full out thing, it doesn't mean you can't say put together a free webinar that people can attend and gauge the audience and see what they're looking for. I think that's a great idea. And that's just, like I said, that's just another way to listen to your audience and your following of what they're looking for. So yeah, absolutely. If you can, put together something before you even put it together, actually, if you want to run that idea and say, hey, I've got something coming up, if you want to sign up for it, and then gauge that reaction and then go ahead and produce those courses together or content or whatever it may be.
Okay, that's great. Now from there, if we say, okay, we know what we're going to do, we've already pre-sold it, what's the next step? Like, do we figure out where and how we should program? Like, if it's for WordPress, okay, good. We know it's for WordPress. Or if it should be an app or something like that, what would you suggest is the next step, like the platform? Is that a big deal?
Yeah. I think you've got to stick with what you know, of course, and what you're familiar with, and put something else, that is sort of a simple version of it and test it. So with REI Conversion, we put out something last year. It was an easier sort of a simplified version of our themes. And it allowed me to sort of learn from it. And we made a lot of mistakes. I'm not going to lie here. We made a lot of mistakes with it. But that allowed us to pivot and make the changes we needed to, fix. And yeah, it sucked that we have to kind of backtrack, but we learned tons with our first sort of what I call version 1.0 of REI Conversion. Like I said, put out something that is an easier way to, an easier format of that final product, and know you're going to just use that product to listen and improve on that. So if you want to create a version 1.0 and then a version 2.0 and continually progress from there.
So I love that idea, 1.0, 2.0, and building on it. I mean, when Windows first came out from Microsoft, they put it out with bugs, and every single software release that they had, like in the 90s and the 2000s, they always had bugs, and they release it. It's called the release candidate, and you test it out so that you can find the bugs, give it to us, and we will fix those bugs. And so what is your thought about waiting until the product is perfect before you sell it, or just getting it out there, getting in their hands and adjusting as you do? It sounds like that's the route you would go, but what are your thoughts about that?
What do they call that? Like an analysis paralysis type of thing. I don't know. Being a perfectionist, when you're trying to start your own business, is probably going to be one of your biggest enemies. It's going to slow you down. You're probably end up, you're going to lose motivation if you're going to try to perfect your product. You're never going to get it out there at the end of the day. Never seek for perfection. Rather seek for improvement. Always look for those mistakes and look to pick up on those mistakes. you know, go in there and launch something with the intent of having to improve on that version, every single version, and just know there's no such thing as a final perfect product. I've never, you know, I mean, like you were just saying with Windows, you know, they're still continuing to launch out Windows. So there's constant updates, and you can use something like that as an example. I mean, you know, with iPhones and whatever, there is, I mean, and at the end of the day, also having, think of it this way, when you're improving on something, it's also a chance to cha-ching, make more money, right? You can charge for your new version. You can, you know, you can seek for ideas to charge more, to kind of grow in different directions. So I don't think there's such thing as a final product, and I don't think it's a good idea to sort of have that idea. I think it's best to, hey, how can I continue to evolve and grow on this? But get it out there as soon as you can, no matter, you know, like obviously you don't want something shitty going out there, but you know, at the same time, you don't want it to be perfect. You don't know what is perfect. So yeah.
That's great. Now I want to jump quickly back into the thought of hiring a programmer and finding a program or partnering with a programmer. What would be the steps that we should take to find the right programmer?
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of places nowadays you can look at, something like Fiverr or Upwork, depending on what you're building, obviously. It's tricky to find someone talented too. So if you're looking for someone's talented and you have a little bit more of a budget, go to your local meetups. So meetup.com is a great place. So you want to go to, say for me, if I'm going to look for a WordPress developer, I'm going to go to a WordPress event, a WordPress meetup, where they're full of WordPress people, or a developer meetup or whatever. And you want to meet these people and connect with them and see what they're all about. You know, ask them out for a coffee, pick their brains, and just show them that you're interested in something. Now, they might be involved with something, but they may tip you off with, you know, meeting somebody else or whatever. So actually, you know, coming back to where, you know, you could hire someone off the bat, or you can go and network at local meetups. I think meetup.com is a great place for a lot of developers and entrepreneurs as well. So once you sort of meet somebody or you feel like you want to work with them, give them a small task to see if they can execute on that. I think, it's a tricky one to say that I know where to find developers. It was sort of out of luck for me, and sometimes luck comes from you just being proactive and you know, meeting people and putting yourself out there. So those are probably some places you could start at.
So you had one thing that you said that was terrific. It was giving them something small to basically cut their teeth on, or see if they can actually do the work. And if they can't do what you requested, if they, number one, can't, or if they don't fulfill it, like they, you give them like eight things to do and they do, you know, like two out of the eight. It's like, well, you're literally not going to do what I'm like, if this is to start and you're doing this poorly, how is it going to be 2 years down, 3 years down the line? And so you have any other tips of trying to make sure that once we found somebody, how we can, you know, gauge as we go along that, hey, it might be a time to move on to somebody else? Or is there any thoughts like that?
I'm still struggling with that. You know what? No. That's a tricky one. I've worked with a lot of horrible developers as well. You know, people that have ghosted me suddenly, have not completed projects. It's hard. I think one of the things is to make sure you guys have a set timeline. So I can talk about another business that I tried starting up a while back, and I hired two guys out in Australia, and I hired them because I saw some of the work they'd done and I got a hold of them and I like what they did. And one of the things that I did not do well was on our weekly meetings, you know, they had excuses and whatnot. I did not hold them accountable. So you know, I'm a bit of a softy, and you know, when you're running a business, you really can't be emotional, and you just got to make sure you stick to your guns. And if they're not keeping up with your timeline, you got to figure out why they aren't keeping up with the timeline. And then, you know, you're going to give them a couple chances, but don't keep prolonging that. And I hear this with a lot of people who work with developers and vice versa, you know, people who hire developers and you know, ghosting each other. It happens quite often. So you want to make sure that you have frequent meetings. So now me and my lead dev, we meet at least three times a week, and then we constantly chat on Slack. Now, this is given that, you know, we've been working together for so many years now. But the main thing is holding them accountable to those meetings. Those meetings are so important. And, you know, it's easy for, let's say it's a small business, a small team, it's easy for you guys to put off a meeting. Let's just do it next week. No, I think it's just important to even touch base for even 5 minutes. That face-to-face, you know, on a webcam like this makes a huge difference. I used to do everything sort of on the go type of basis, but it never, it just slowed everything down. So I think it's really important that you set those regular meetings. Honestly, even if you have to, you can't do it, figure out 5 minutes to even just quickly catch up. There have been those times where we had a couple 5 minutes meeting. Obviously, those don't happen often, but yeah, I think setting a regular meet schedule and then also having a timeline that they agree on, and even get your developer to make that timeline, so they're held accountable in that sense. Like, hey, you came up with that timeline. You said you could make this work. I think it is a great way to sort of make sure everything continues to run on time.
I think that's great. I love the thought of holding somebody, or holding just the team members that you have working with you, accountable to doing what they're supposed to do. And so obviously working together, I think that's a great idea to come up with a timeline. I think it's all really good. One thing that I learned a long time ago when I had my first business, I had a convenience store where I had employees. Yep. And having employees is like babysitting. And same thing with if you have anybody working for you, it's a bummer that it does come out like that. Sometimes you get some great gems where they literally don't need any handholding. You're not babysitting. You're doing well. But I learned very quickly that I hire slow, but I fire fast. So if they do not produce, they are gone. Like if they're not doing what they say they're supposed to do, I maybe give them one chance. Two chances is very, very, sometimes I'll give somebody a second chance if they've had a great track record. But for me, if they mess up one time and they just started like a week ago, hey, you know what? I may give you one chance. I may not. But hiring slow is another thing. Finding the right person, making sure that your personalities get along, make sure that they can produce what they say they can produce, all that sort of stuff. But so you hire slow and fire fast. Now, let's quickly go into the thought of once we have a product, once we start developing it, how do we scale it? Now, this is your end of the business, not actually doing the product and doing the coding. But how do we then scale it to where we can quit our job by having that get to be into more people's hands?
Yeah, and that's going to be different for every business. But you know, before you quit your job, I think you should have at least an outline or a goal that you want to reach to. And I think you know, working backwards, let's say you wanted to make, you know, $500,000 in the year, you know, how do we get to that $500,000? And not only that, is there even a market to be able to sustain $500,000? You know, anybody can just say, I want to make $1 million, but is that business going to be able to reach that? So you have to, you know, learn about, be as accurate as you can and work backwards. So, you know, perhaps go into a Facebook group and see how big that community is and see how big that audience is. And as soon as you start getting any numbers in, start doing some math and start, you know, working backwards. So, for example, if I put out a product and I sold it, you know, 10 times in the last few months, each month, right? Now I can sort of use that percentage, you know, use that number and figure out, okay, you know, with an audience that I've been marketing towards in this Facebook group or whatever email list I have, this certain percentage, you know, actually ended up purchasing. Well, now I'm looking at other Facebook groups, you know, the audience is this big and these are, you know, all my target audience. Then I can sort of gauge myself, okay, well, maybe a year or 18 months down the road, I can tap into this audience and I should be able to make, you know, X amount of dollars and work backwards from there. I think that's sort of the only way to really figure out, you know, how far you need to scale that business and if it's even scalable and if you can provide for what you need to provide for. I think that's sort of the best way to go about it. I mean, figuring out, you know, where else you can market, pay attention to things like, you know, can you do a podcast? Can you do a blog? Can you generate traffic through blogs? You know, at the end of the day, it's all about a marketing game and figuring out where your audience is, getting them, you know, getting them into knowing who you are and then growing from there. I think that's sort of my answer for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big believer in having Google send me traffic. Like that's one of like SEO. If you write an article that people love or create a video that people love for through YouTube and they keep sharing it or keep watching it, or Google or YouTube say, hey, people really like this that are searching for this term. Let's go up. There was one affiliate that I have that I didn't know that it was going to work out this well. But right now I have 10,000 views on this one video. I think I put it up maybe a couple months ago. It's probably one of my biggest videos that people watch, but it's for an affiliate that they click on it. It's free for them, so they don't mind clicking on my affiliate link. It's free for them. And anytime that they have a property that, because it's for property management, so for real estate, anytime they sign up, I get like $15. And so I'm making plenty of money just from one video. So I love utilizing YouTube, utilizing SEO, like writing articles. I get so many people finding me because Google's great at their job. And their job is to connect somebody who's searching for something with the exact thing that they want at the exact time. They're really good at that. And so when somebody finds me through SEO and through Google, that's the right time. So, all right. Now, Jesse, you've given us so much great content. Is there anything else that we might have missed along the way?
Hey, Ashley, you were just talking about SEO. I'm a firm believer in Facebook advertising. Paid traffic is huge, Ashley. I don't know how I skipped over that one. So paid traffic has been a huge catapult for my other business, my first business. So never be afraid to experiment with paid traffic. I think it's very, very valuable. And it gives you a predictable, somewhat predictable way to grow once you start running your ad campaigns and start, you know, tweaking with those numbers. I definitely think, Facebook, whether it's targeting cold audiences that you're looking for or, retargeting, again, Facebook gives you a bunch of stats allowing you to A/B test and split test and improve on your ads. So yeah, one of those things, getting your reach out there, Facebook has been huge. Yeah.
Do you do your own ads or do you have somebody else do it for you?
I used to do all my own ads. Because I'm a graphic designer, I can do my own ads. But now when it comes to the technical side of things, because it's changed quite a bit, I have somebody that just look after. And there's tons of people that can help you out with Facebook ads, getting things set up. It's worthwhile joining a couple Facebook ad groups just to learn the basics. You'll want to try it on your own first. And if you need a designer or whatever, you can always grab someone to help you out with that on, like I said, on Upwork or Fiverr. But everything else you can definitely learn on your own.
Awesome. Now, Jesse, let's jump into the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So the rapid fire round, I'm going to ask you questions, should be able to come off the top of your head. No big deal. So the first question is, as we have been able to quit our jobs, be extraordinary, provide for a family without working for somebody else, we hopefully have a little more time. We were normally working 40, 50, 60 hours a week for somebody else, but now I have a little more time for ourselves. How are you either making the community around you a better place, the people around you, or even the world a better place? How are you giving back?
No, that's a great question. Getting involved with what you love doing. We're part of like the WordPress community and we help out with that. I love the podcast. I spend a lot of time driving as much value as I can. I'm a bit of an introvert myself. So, I love spending time with my family and that's mainly it.
That's great. So if somebody were to say, give me like a quick five steps or a couple steps, like in a succinct manner, how would somebody get started creating a software company?
You know, wherever you are, look for something that you can solve, probably in the digital, if it's software, obviously in the digital world. Start asking and seeing what people are looking for. And if you believe you have something, an idea, make it happen. Bring on somebody, find somebody who can develop what you want. And either, like you said, pre-sale that, build a webinar around that. I don't know how many steps I have now, but anyways, and then launch that product. Another great book that I read, what is that? The Product Launch Formula by Jeff Walker is a great one. If you want to launch a product out there, it's something that I use that formula quite a bit.
Awesome. And that's the last question usually is, what's a nonfiction book that you would recommend? And so you say the Product Launch Formula is a good book to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great book. Yeah.
Good. Now, if you were to go back and give your younger self, let's say you're 12 or 13 years old, some advice to get you where you are now, it could be principles or whatever, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, man. Know that there's a lot of up and downs and probably more downs than ups. It's been I think a lot of people think you know, I would tell myself, hey, you might think working for yourself is all great. And it is, there's a lot of benefits, but just be prepared for a lot of inner struggle, mental struggles, emotional struggles. And it's not all beauty. Yeah. I think that you just got to accept the whole journey as a package.
That's great. Now, last question. What is one tool? It could be an app, it could be a journal, whatever it might be, that you would suggest that we should use to help us in our lives?
So many. I think Loom or Dub. I use both. Loom, use loom.com or Dub, D-U-B-B.com. I use Loom for my team because there's no branding on there. And what it is a screen recording that allows me to talk and show things on my screen, where Dub is for really for my customer support or any marketing, because it allows for click call to actions on there, allows for a bunch of different other features. But I think both of them are great. And useloom.com is free.
That's great.
I don't know how I could survive without that.
I use Loom all the time, especially when it comes to working with my coaching students. So I coach them how to buy a rental property, how to analyze deals and everything like that. Right. And so instead of typing out an email, I literally analyze a property with them and I just record my screen with Loom, and it works out fantastic. So it's great.
You know what? If I have to give one more, because everybody here is listening, are sort of entrepreneurs or want to become an entrepreneur, is appsumo.com, appsumo.com. They've got great deals for products for entrepreneurs in general. So they'll typically, you know, work with other apps that are usually subscription based, but you can buy it at a one-time deal, and it's amazing. I that's a money pit for me though.
Awesome. I will absolutely have to take a look at that too. Jesse, you've been fantastic. Give him so much great wisdom. How can somebody get a hold of you? How can they find you? And do you have anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah. If you would just want to get a hold of me, I'm Jesse Kwong, J-E-S-S-E-Y, and then K-W-O-N-G. You can find me on Facebook. And then you can find my company, which is reiconversion.com. So if you're an investor, whether you're a land investor, a wholesaler, a flipper, rehabber, whatever it may be, we help get you guys set up with your website pretty darn quickly. So you can start scaling, automating, and generating leads on your website. So you can find me there.
Awesome. Jesse, fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, Dustin.
Today's episode has been brought to you by the Real Estate Wealth Builders membership. That's the membership that I founded, teaching people how to quit their J-O-B by investing in real estate rental properties. Now, Real Estate Wealth Builders is your place to learn how to invest in real estate with 5 different masterclass courses, group coaching with me, and a private student community where we all work together, all the tools and the discounts, all the resources and everything that you need to quit your J-O-B by investing in real estate. Now, I do want to show you how to do this completely for free. If you want to learn about investing in real estate for free, I want to get you my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. That's R-E-N-T-A-L. To 33777, so you can see how you can quit your job, that J-O-B, by investing in real estate. I'll show you how to find properties, how to use other people's money to buy properties, and how to scale the business to be successfully unemployed, just like I did. Now, did you also know that there are video versions of each and every single episode on the Successfully Unemployed show? Well, I did record every single one of these for you. I recorded them for you so you will be able to learn from the experts themselves, see what they're doing, see everything that they are talking about on this show visually, and all their examples, all their slides, all their pictures that they even draw. Everything is on there. Go to successfullyunemployed.co/YouTube. Or if you just go to YouTube and type in Successfully Unemployed, more than likely you're going to find me. So successfullyunemployed.co/YouTube. And I would truly appreciate it if you subscribe to Successfully Unemployed on YouTube and wherever you're listening to this podcast, subscribe to this show so that you can always get every bit of new information on how to quit your J-O-B. Also, if you got anything out of the show, share it with just one person. Share it with just one person so that they can see the light, that it is so much better to not work a job, be successfully unemployed, and be your own boss. All right, guys, this is it for today's show. I will see you next week. See ya.